All right. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for the invitation to speak. I am at the University of Tennessee. Sorry, my first slide there got cut off just a little bit. So what I'm going to talk about today is a little bit of a different track. We're going to think about forages for organic vegetable production systems. We don't often think about side-based rotations in vegetable production systems, but we were interested in this topic, especially as it relates to organic vegetable production, because there are some different limitations there than what you have in conventional production. And of course, vegetables kind of, what we call vegetables, kind of span a spectrum from field crops over to very high intensity horticultural crops. There are some vegetable crops that are produced on larger scale and more mechanized than other vegetable crops. Just quickly for some acknowledgments, I'm going to talk about two papers and then talk about some unpublished data. Sarah Inwood and Gary Bates are my co-authors on those. We had some funding from NSF EAGR program, but we really cobbled together a lot of funding for this work, as it was more a collection of some preliminary data. So a little background: organic vegetable systems, very high value, much different than a lot of conventional row crop systems where you think about the value per unit area. Also a lot of disturbance, a lot of tillage, a lot of high intensity tillage, a lot of rotary tillage that really breaks a lot of soil aggregates, removes soil carbon. They're typically nitrogen limited, so if you can see how maybe integrating some legume perennials could be beneficial for a system that is typically nitrogen limited, because you are limited by the fertilizers that can be applied. There are multiple pest limitations that, again, you don't have the same tools as you would in conventional vegetable production to manage those pests, and maybe that some of those can be managed through sod-based rotation, as we heard from the last speaker. I mentioned variable scale. Some vegetables are produced on fairly large scale. There are those vegetables we think about that maybe are more like agronomic crops, dry bean, potato, things like that. And they organic vegetable systems and vegetable systems in general typically have high cropping system diversity. So this can actually be a challenge for integrating in a forage crop, because there are often limited fallow periods in many cases. And as we think about integrating cover crops, that's also a limitation, because you have cool season vegetables and warm season vegetables, longer season, short season, a lot of things that can really fit into that rotation. So that's as we think about perennial forages integrating into a sod-based rotation, but we can also be thinking about annual forages or cover crops in those systems. So organic vegetable farmers are very used to using cover crops. They are required by certification. But the degree of reliance on those cover crops to manage that system varies. Some growers are using cover crops as their primary soil management technique. Others are just using those cover crops to fit in that rotation, fill fallow periods, maybe provide some ecosystem or cropping system services. And of course, when we think about cover crops, we typically think about annual species. So our question: can forages or forage species be integrated into organic vegetable systems? Why might this be beneficial, in addition to what I've already talked about? But one is that you could reduce the opportunity cost of having that perennial or annual cover crop in that system. You're not getting production from that, any economic production from that, direct production from that cover crop or that forage crop, from that cover crop, but if it as a forage crop, you would. You can maybe better mitigate the effects of disturbance on soil quality. Again, a lot of disturbance in these vegetable systems. Maybe those perennials, we know from the literature, might be better at mitigating the effects of that disturbance on soil carbon and other aspects of soil quality. Maybe we can get some stronger rotational effects to control those pests, because we can have longer cycles where we don't have those vegetable crops within that rotation. As we think about organic vegetable systems, I was in a symposium yesterday that was talking a little bit about maybe growing nitrogen, growing other things for organic vegetable use. So as we think about maybe if a perennial legume can produce a lot of nitrogen, that could actually be harvested and used as a fertilizer for other vegetables on that same system. And of course, it's dependent whether you could integrate forages into an organic vegetable system are dependent on a number of system characteristics. Scale is a big one. How much land do you have? What's the value of that land? Very high value land, it's probably not practical. But as we think here in the Southeast, the East Coast versus Salinas Valley in California, the land values are very different, and what that land may economically support is quite different. Some of these farms may have livestock, some of them may not, so that also is a limitation. So I'm going to talk about three studies. The first one really just sets the stage for the other two. So the first, we'll talk about some of the forage systems that we looked at, and then we'll rotate to vegetable production systems. The second, we'll talk about those vegetable systems, and then the third, we'll talk about integrating those vegetables into that forage rotation. So if you're interested in more information than what I talk about, this first study is published in Agronomy Journal in 2015, and the second one's in Hort Science last year, and the third has not been published. So the first study, we wanted to look at productivity of five organic forage systems. If you're going to integrate forages into organic vegetable systems, what are those forages you might use in the southeast? To do that, we looked at one annual system and four perennial systems over a short time period, 2 years, that you might have that forage in that rotation for organic vegetables. And then we looked at soil quality dynamics associated with those, that short-term forage system compared to vegetable production systems. So these are nested studies. The forage plots are randomized with the vegetable plots, and then they are all rotated to similar vegetable crops as we see the third study. So the methodology I'm going to talk about here applies throughout what I'm talking about today. So these are small plots. It's a randomized complete block. It's on an altisol with fairly low soil carbon. This is soil carbon, not soil organic matter. So about 1% soil carbon, 11 grams per kilogram at the beginning of the study. We looked at those four perennial systems, two legume monocultures, red clover or alfalfa, and each of those mixed with orchard grass. And then we had an annual system, which was wheat, crimson clover, and this is the cover crop. The annual cover crop we'll also be using throughout the system. And then that's followed by sorghum Sudan grass. Fairly low fertility sites, so we started out with poultry litter to improve that low soil phosphorus and potassium. Fairly low rates. These are wet weights of application. And then we had tillage events to begin that study, incorporate any cover crops, and prior to all cover crop or annual forage planting. So that annual forage system has two tillage events per year versus that perennial system, which only had tillage event to establish the study, and then finally when we terminated those perennial crops 2 years later. Soil sampling, the soil sampling I'm going to be talking about is soil samples taken every fall within this study annually. And we did cores to 15 centimeters, the data I'll be talking about today. We looked at total nitrogen and carbon, particulate organic matter, carbon and nitrogen. So that's a size fractionation that represents some more labile materials, plant roots, things like that, plant residues. And then permanganate oxidizable carbon, also a labile soil fraction, a little more processed, denser, smaller particles, a little bit more processed labile organic matter. So forage biomass, we kind of expected that the annual system, you can see the treatments here along the horizontal axis and forage yield in metric tons per hectare per year on the vertical axis. We expected that annual system to out-yield the perennial systems, and it did. Otherwise, the perennial systems were fairly similar with slightly lower yields from the alfalfa just from some pest issues. And then you can see the total forage yields over that two-year course of the study. So keep this in mind more to think about soil quality and integrating those other crops, what the forage yield, how the forage yield may impact that system. So I have a number of graphs that show soil quality, and most of them are set up in this way, so I just want to orient you to that. Again, the treatments along the horizontal axis are response variable here on the vertical axis, soil carbon in this case. And this is showing both total carbon in the dark gray and then particulate organic matter carbon, one of those labile fractions in the light gray bars. At establishment is this dashed line here of total carbon and then particulate organic matter carbon here. And then for each of these significance factors, if there's an asterisk, that just says that those plots increase carbon over that time period versus the establishment value for those same plots. So in this case, alfalfa after 2 years had higher soil carbon than it did at the beginning of that study. That's what we would expect. And if we look at those forage systems, no significant difference among those forage systems after 2 years, even though you did have some productivity differences, which may relate to differences in root biomass or stubble left behind. But there was no difference in soil carbon at the end of the study. After 2 years of forage production, same thing for the labile fraction that we're looking at here. Just to compare to some of the vegetable systems I'm going to be showing you in a little bit, I have some of those values here as well. So we have a tilled organic vegetable system and a reduced tillage organic vegetable system. So the forage values after 2 years were higher in soil carbon than from that tilled organic vegetable system, but similar to what we had from that reduced tillage organic vegetable system. But we'll talk about that a little more in a second. Another fraction of labile soil carbon, and we see that same relationship. I'm not going to dwell on this for long. This is the permanganate oxidizable fraction. Again, we have the establishment value. Some of those forages are increasing after 2 years over that establishment value significantly. Others are not, but there's no significant difference among those forage systems in this fraction after that short 2 year time period. Again, the same relationship with those annual vegetable systems. And then if we look at the soil nitrogen fraction, so there's some relationship there between the carbon and the nitrogen fraction in total nitrogen, total carbon. But the response can be slightly different, and we do see that with the forage systems. So we actually do see some separation here where alfalfa has the highest total soil nitrogen at the end of the after those 2 years of the study. And maybe that's also related with those pest issues, more of that nitrogen being left behind, but also the high nitrogen fixation rates of alfalfa. You could see that maybe this alfalfa orchard grass system, some of that nitrogen was just harvested in that higher biomass of the orchard grass in that system. Here we do see some separation from some of those forage systems and even the reduced tillage organic vegetable system, both lower in total nitrogen than the alfalfa after 2 years of the study. Similar relationships in that labile fraction of soil nitrogen. Okay, so now we get more into the vegetable systems. So we wanted to evaluate vegetable crop performance in cover crop-based production systems, and you might think, well, how does this relate so much to the sod-based integration? Not so much, but we had one treatment here where we're actually harvesting that cover crop in these cover crop-based systems, thinking, can we harvest that cover crop, still get some of those ecosystem and cropping system services from that cover crop in a vegetable production system if we're harvesting most of that above-ground biomass before we plant those vegetables? So we had two tilled plasticulture systems. One where we retained that above-ground cover crop biomass, the wheat and crimson clover, and another where we just removed it before planting that cover crop and doing the tillage of, or planting the vegetable during the tillage events. And then we had a reduced tillage system. And we wanted to evaluate soil quality dynamics yield in those production systems during that two-year study period. So this just describes a little bit of those management systems. So we had the representation here, just the vegetable tilled system with above ground cover crop biomass, the one without above ground cover crop biomass, and then the reduced tillage system. So they all had the same cover crop of common wheat and crimson clover. Termination varied, of course, with the incorporated system. We just flail mowed it and incorporated it. We cut and removed in the removal system, and then we roll killed with roller crimper in the reduced tillage system. And then spring tillage, no spring tillage in the reduced tillage system, only tillage in the fall to establish that cover crop, and then rotary tillage within those tilled systems. They all had poultry litter, and they had some different mulches, of course, depending on reduced tillage or plasticulture system. So this is just the first year of the study. This is eggplant a few weeks after establishment. This is one of the tilled systems. This is the reduced tillage system. You see the roll killed wheat and crimson clover here at the surface. This is just harvest of one of the systems before cover crop termination. So total and labile soil carbon in these systems, so you've seen some of this data on the past slide, but this is just comparing among those vegetable systems. Here we have no significant difference in total carbon after 2 years. You do see some trends though, and actually the reduced tillage system is the only one that's significantly greater than at establishment in soil carbon after 2 years. We did see some separation in the labile fraction, higher labile soil carbon, the particulate organic matter fraction, in that reduced tillage vegetable system after 2 years. Surprisingly, no difference if we remove that cover crop versus if we retain that cover crop in soil carbon. So you might think, why is there no difference there? You're removing a lot of carbon when you take that cover crop biomass, but you're also leaving a lot of roots, you're leaving behind stubble. Maybe that can be a little bit more important in terms of soil carbon, and some of the literature says that roots are probably more important than shoots in building soil carbon in cover crop systems. I won't dwell on this one long for the sake of time, but this is just that permanganate oxidizable fraction. No significant difference here, but the trends also follow what we saw with the particulate organic matter fraction. And then with nitrogen, again, very close relationship here, pretty much the same thing we saw with both the total carbon fraction, the total nitrogen fraction. No significant difference among treatments, but significantly higher than establishment only in the reduced tillage system. And then among the labile nitrogen fraction, significantly higher from the reduced tillage. No significant difference whether you kept that cover crop or removed that cover crop in the tilled systems. And then lastly, we get to integrating those vegetables into those forage systems. So we wanted to evaluate soil quality dynamics associated with rotating those vegetable systems, whether there's a sod-based rotation or it was just continuous vegetable production. So I've actually, for the sake of time, grouped those perennial forage systems together. So we'll just be looking at whether or not that rotation was perennial forage for 2 years and then going into a tilled vegetable system where you retain that cover crop biomass, or an annual forage system where you have that same rotation, or continuous production of those same systems I just talked about with vegetable production. And this is just maybe a better diagram to illustrate that rotation for you. So we have, represents a year here. So in the first study, I talked about the 2 years of forage production, whether perennial or annual. Those were terminated in the fall after 2 years. We planted wheat crimson, then we rotated to sweet corn, had wheat crimson the following cool season cover crop, and then sweet potato in that following year. Whereas vegetable production, we had a slightly different rotation during the forage phase, but then we went into the same vegetable crop rotation over the same time period as with the sod-based rotation. And to think about soil sampling, we're soil sampling at establishment at year one, at year two, year three, and year four in the fall of each year. So if you think about how the carbon varies in those different systems. And then litter application, we only had litter application in those first 2 years. So that's important to think about as well. As we rotate here after forages, there's no more litter application, there's no more nitrogen being applied to these systems other than what's being produced by the legumes in those systems. So total soil carbon, the dark gray bars is year two, that's some data that you've already seen, and then the light gray bars is year four, so after the end of transitioning from those two years of forages, then 2 years of vegetables, the end of that system. So with the perennial forage to vegetable system, we saw that very high carbon after 2 years. A lot of that's gone after 2 years rotating back to vegetables, all of that disturbance, which is somewhat what we might expect. Similar trend with the annual system. Surprisingly, no difference in soil carbon. This is just total soil carbon at year four among those different treatments. You do see that only the continuous tilled system with cover crop biomass removal is the only one that after 4 years was not significantly different than the establishment value in those same plots. The others were all still significantly higher in total soil carbon, the establishment value. These are all significantly higher than those same plots 4 years prior at establishment. Similar trends with nitrogen, but you can see here actually the raw value in that system, again, where we remove that cover crop biomass, is actually lower in total soil nitrogen than the establishment value after 4 years. So after 2 years, the system removing above ground cover crop biomass looked like it could be promising for these systems. Over the long term, probably not sustainable, as you see from the data on soil carbon and soil nitrogen. Even the perennial forages were back to the establishment value in that sod-based rotation 2 years after we've rotated away from that sod. And then the only labile fraction I'm showing here is the permanganate oxidizable fraction, and I actually show year three here as well, because it's kind of illustrative, I think, of that gain that you can get from incorporating cover crops or those forages. Much higher in those forage systems. Also higher, though, in those vegetable systems, because after that melon phase in the rotation, there was an open fallow period where we had buckwheat as a cover crop, so there's additional cover crop biomass in that year, at least the prior fall, that was processed into that labile fraction. At the end of the study, we do see differences among treatments. In this case, the perennial forage, the annual forage systems are not significantly higher, though, than those continuous rotations after the 2 years of vegetable production. Vegetable yield, I'm showing relative vegetable yield here to allow you to interpret a little better, hopefully, rather than seeing the different units of vegetable production. So in year one, we had the eggplant and the melon before we rotate then to the vegetables in the forage systems where we have the sweet corn and sweet potato. So it's a relative yield, the values of one, that's the highest yielding plot, and then the others just represent the proportion of the yield of the highest yielding system for that given year. So no significant difference in the first 2 years among those vegetable systems. When we rotate to vegetables in those forage systems, we do see a significant difference. The highest yielding is that reduced tillage system, but our other high yielder is coming out of perennial forages. You have a lot of nitrogen there. We're not applying any litter at this point, so there's a lot of nitrogen needs that need to be met by that for that vegetable crop from that sod, and that is doing that in the perennial forage system. Another trend that we see, our lowest yielder tends to be that vegetable system where we remove that above-ground cover crop biomass after 2 years. It seemed to work for 2 years, and then after that, it was no longer sustainable. A quick discussion. Forages improve soil quality over short duration. We know that, but there was no difference, at least among the forage systems we looked at, even that annual forage system where we had quite a bit of disturbance. 33% increase in total soil carbon over that 2 year phase. And this is just in a mass basis rather than a proportion basis. A lot of questions I get, how much of that is attributable to the poultry litter? Not a lot of it. We applied maybe three megagrams, those metric tons of carbon per hectare in that poultry litter. The gain in soil carbon is much greater than that. And then you can just see some values there. Forages were at about 30 metric tons of carbon per hectare, reduced tillage about 26, and conventional tillage vegetable about 23, so higher in the forage system, as we've already seen. As we think about where is all that carbon coming from, it's not all coming from the litter. A lot of it's coming from the roots. A lot of it's coming from the unharvested stubble. A lot of it's coming from those extra root compounds. How much of that is there in relation to the above-ground productivity? It varies depending on legume versus grass, perennial versus annual. Those all have different amounts of carbon, we know from the literature. But in our case, anyway, for the systems we looked at, it didn't differ among those forage systems. Soil gains from perennial forages are relatively short-lived following return to these high disturbance systems where we have that twice yearly tillage. Above ground cover crop biomass had removal in those systems had limited effect in the short term, but as we saw, there are some questions about sustainability in the long term, at least for the way this system was managed. Reduced tillage vegetable systems, very feasible. There's a lot of applied research and development that needs to be done, but it worked pretty well for how we managed within this system. And I think as we think about furthering this study, maybe expanding to some larger scale studies, I think some real opportunity might be in having that sod-based rotation and then rotating to a reduced tillage vegetable system rather than to a vegetable system where you have all that disturbance, and maybe that can help you maintain some of those gains that you get from that sod-based rotation. Study limitations were on one soil type in one location. It's a relatively small-scale study. So I'll just put that out there. All right. Thank you.